But I hope you're in a brighter place now, gentlemen. And yeah, you're going to want to keep it here for Oswaldo's The Morning After Show. You know he always has a really good band in the studio. So yeah, that's it for Mind Voyage. The playlist and the podcast is going to be up. Shoutouts once again to Rick from Powwow. So keep it right here on CITR.
Thank you.
welcome to the show. You're listening to the Morning After Show, 101.9 FM, CITR, and we have a very special show today. We have Chris Mora here in the studio. Hey, Chris.
Hello.
So stick around. He's going to do a couple of songs, and we have also the guys from Red and Black Records here doing some stuff here, too. So it's going to be really cool.
Seen the stars reflect in the reservoirs, and you have never been in love until you've seen the sunrise behind the home for the blind. We are the pretty petty thieves. Was the first of the gang with a gun in his hand, and the first to the time, the first of the gang to die. Oh my, Hector was the first of the gang with a gun in his hand, and the first to the time, the first of the gang to die.
March 2nd to the 23rd,
the 2013 Vancouver International Dance Festival invites you to experience the kinetic simulation of contemporary dance. Delivered to you on stages throughout Vancouver by outstanding dance artists from New Zealand, Denmark, Switzerland, Zimbabwe, Mexico, Malaysia, Korea, Montreal, and Vancouver. Information and tickets are available online at www.vidf.ca or through our box office at 604-662-4966.
So we're back here, 101.9 FM, listening to the Morning After Show. Getting into the ska mood here, so we have Chris Moray on the studio. We started the show with a band called Palaxy Tracks from the city Cedarland. The song was To the Chicago Abyss. And then we have a band from Spain called Mendez and Dorian. And that was a Morrissey cover, the first of the gang to die. So, yeah, we have Chris here because he's in town doing a special show tonight at Displaced Hatchery, when we generally have the open mics. He's going to do a special presentation today at Displaced Hatchery. That's at 3293 West 4th Avenue. And I met Chris, last month, wasn't it, that you were here?
January.
Yeah, there was a really cool show there with Los Furios that we're listening there in the back here. And the Bone Daddies and Hands Hand Heavy, and that was a cool show,
that
no?
That was great, yeah.
And you've been here many times, no? In Vancouver, no?
Yes, I started coming in 1990 with my band King Apparatus. We were based in Toronto. I have no idea how many times I've been to Vancouver at this time. Many.
Yeah, you're a Vancouverite now.
Yeah, definitely. I'm still learning my way around some corners of the city, but it feels like home, definitely.
Cool. So that show, the Rickshaw, what was your impression of the...
It was great. I really liked the venue, and all the bands were great. A lot of people came out. Everyone had a good time. I felt like it was a very successful show.
Yeah, it was really cool. And there was there's a video going around where you play in the washroom
of the
Rickshaw. We should probably play that later on the show. It was shot by Roth Matheson. He has this project that he's filming like 1,000 videos every day. He films somebody.
4,000 days he's filming a different band.
Yeah. Or performing
and
stuff. Posting
it online. That's great.
So you were day number 301.
Wow, not even a third into it.
So yeah, it was really cool. So so you came to do a show here in a town up in the mountains, no?
Yes, I was just in Braylorn, BC, which is about 4 hours driving north from Whistler, and no one has heard of it. When I say, oh, I was just in Braylorn, I get a lot of blank stares. It's a really tiny ski town. Its population is 60.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a skier, so I wasn't on the hill, but I know that to access the hill, you either had to go by helicopter or by snowmobile. And it's just gorgeous up there. So I was up there. I arrived on Wednesday, flew into Vancouver, and by Thursday had arrived there, and then came back into town yesterday. And when I knew I would be coming up for this event and being in Vancouver, I really thought, I want to play, because I'm in Vancouver, I want to play a show. But I've just done a show very recently, which was a big success. So how to make it, it's different. And the truth is, when I go around, and it must be the same for many artists who tour a lot, you end up in a city often once a year, or maybe even once every 2 years. And after time, you have some songs that people know, and when you show up that year or every 2 years, they want to hear those songs.
Yeah.
There's often a limited amount of time to play. So in my case, I have a lot of songs that I need to play every night, and I really don't mind playing those songs. I love them, and I know that people want to hear them, and the response I get and the interaction that happens with songs that people know and have come to hear is really great. So my agenda for the show tonight is to play songs that are not in this group of songs that get played every night.
Okay.
Because over years I've written many dozens of songs, and often at a show I'll have time to play 12 or 15 songs, and maybe 10 of those, I would say, are standards for me. Songs like Rock Steady.
Where
if I show up in a city and I don't play Rock Steady, I'm not really bringing what I'm supposed to bring, you know?
Cool.
So tonight it's for the more obscure songs, and for people in Vancouver who have seen me play Rock Steady 10 times but never heard some other songs.
Okay. Yeah, that's cool. So it's going to be an intimate show, and there's no cover either. So
that's right, and it's all ages.
It's all ages, and
which is great.
And also, there's it's funny because there's this band called Orchard Pinkish. That Richard, he's a fan of yours, and we were having a drink the other day, and he's like, "Oh, he's coming to town. Yeah, yeah, we're gonna do this at this place, Hasher," and so he's. Like, oh, I want to play that too. So
great.
Yeah, they're coming to do a support there, and a couple of our regular that go there to the open mic also are going to be performing. So like Kyle and Kyle Fury from Los Furious also, that he's been helping to promote all these shows, putting all these cool shows with his band, and so he's going to perform tonight as well. So yeah, looking forward. It's going to be. Really cool.
It's great that you guys are putting a lot of energy into making shows happen in Vancouver, because every city needs a person or a team that is really proactive in making shows happen and getting the word out and building a spirit for a scene when it's a genre-specific style of music. I think that's really important. So good work.
Cool. Yeah, thank you. And thanks for coming.
Oh, my pleasure.
So let's do a song, no? You have your guitar here, and we have the crew, filming crew here from Red and Black Records. We'll talk to them a little bit later.
If I raise this up a bit, is it going to make a big squeak?
No, go ahead.
You say that. Hey, it doesn't.
See, okay. I'm
trying to play a song from my most recent release, which is called Yard Sale, and the song is called Everything Will Be All Right.
The crew can clap. They're filming there. Yeah, it was really cool. So you're based in LA, no?
Mm. Yes, sir.
Based in LA right now. How's the scene there? What's happening there? Lots of ska, rock steady, reggae
there
going
really
on?
There really is. I mean, that's a big part of why I am there. I started going there at the beginning of the 90s with King Apparatus. And there was a scene that was starting. And at this time, I'd already traveled around North America a lot, playing with ska bands. And most of the bands were really playing a modern style of ska. They were inspired by bands like Madness and The Beat and The Specials. So a rock fusion approach to ska. When I arrived in LA, I was exposed to a scene that was starting there where bands were really going back to the authentic sound of 1960s Jamaica and recreating this sound very true to how it had been. And this was not something that was happening anywhere else that I'd been. And there were some excellent bands still, like Hepcat, that have really built over more than 20 years a really strong thing in every way. They're an amazing band with amazing material. People love them. And so I started to see these bands 20 years ago, and I really understood this is a special thing in the world of ska music, which had been my world for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be part of this. I was already a big fan of the authentic music. Growing up in Toronto, there was a large Jamaican community, and I was exposed to a lot of this music. And to see bands playing it in the authentic style was very exciting to me, because Jamaicans had moved on from this style of music into wherever reggae had evolved. And in the world of ska music, people were taking the Specials as their starting point and moving on and coming up with sounds like the Mighty Mighty Bosstones or the Toasters, this type of more modern sound. So yes, I've been in LA about 16 years now, and as an artist, it's really an excellent place to live. There's a good culture there for entertainment, of course, and people like to go out, and there's a lot of excellent entertainment to partake in.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that people are very lucky, and it's one of those things that, because people there have seen so many great touring acts from around the world, they really have a high expectation for quality, and that comes through even in the local bands that are starting out. They grow up in this culture, and they know we need to be really good, and they've seen some really great bands as examples. So I think it's a great place for arts.
Yeah, yeah. And speaking of which, you were talking about bands that influence you, and you were looking up to them. But now you're on the other side of the spectrum. Now bands are looking to you for advice, for guidance, for influences. How does that feel?
It feels really good. I think the term used to get used a lot, traditional ska. And to me, part of what makes a tradition is, say, in carpentry, someone will apprentice and the master will pass on the skills to the next generation. And I think it's this way in music as well. And in the ska scene, I've been very fortunate to work with a lot of Jamaican artists, the original artists. I've done this last song I just played. I did a recording of it with Lloyd Nibb and Lloyd Brevet, the drummer and bass player from the Skatalites, the original Jamaican players of ska music. And so over time, I worked with many of the original era Jamaican artists, and also with a lot of the two-tone era artists who, as I was growing up, were my direct influences. Those were the acts that introduced me to ska, as opposed to reggae. And so I really feel like I have learned directly from these people sometimes in broad ways and in very simple ways, like the guitar pick I use. I used this because I was a big fan of Linval Golding, the rhythm guitarist in the Specials. And so I did a tour where I was equipment manager for the Specials. And I said, so what pick are you using? What strings are you using?
Uh-huh.
And he holds his pick in a certain way, and oh, now I understand how you get that sound.
Okay. That's cool.
He has a certain way he does things. So I was able to learn from that. And similarly, I did some touring with Skatalites, and the guitarist who was with them for 20 years, maybe Devin James, has a very certain way where the offbeats, the strokes, are clearly paired. And it's not just stroke, stroke, stroke. It's like, ch-tum-chum, and there's a pause in between each pair. And in his body language as he plays, you see he is aware of this. This is part of his sound. And so I've absorbed a lot of information that now to me is, I think, second nature. I still remember a lot of where it came from.
Mm-hmm.
And as things happen with music, a lot of young people come in and they're looking to people who have come before for inspiration or guidance or just an example. And I work with a lot of acts, not only the senior acts, but some of the young acts. I just did a little production with a band called the Steady 45s in LA, a brand new band, and they're playing rocksteady and authentic ska, and they did a 4-song demo recorded at someone's house, and they asked me to come over, so I came over, and I just helped them in some musical ways. I had a few suggestions. They have a couple guitars. Well, why don't you do different things instead of both doing the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
So I really enjoy that because I feel like I'm contributing to them, and I know that in time those people will contribute to people younger than them.
Yeah. That's...
So in this way, I really feel part of a tradition, which is awesome. I love.
Yeah, well, we're here talking with Chris Mora. He's playing a special show tonight, actually, at this place, Hatchery, 3293 West 4th Avenue. No cover, but come early because it's gonna be full. So lots of nice music happening tonight there. And we're gonna say hi to a bunch of people. But first, let's listen to a song. No, I'm gonna do another song. Yeah. What was the name of that song?
It's called Mountain of Sorrow.
Mountain of Sorrow. So, yeah, we were talking about the rock steady and different styles of ska. How many styles are of ska, or what's the...
Well, really, ska and rocksteady and reggae are related in a purely evolutionary fashion, where ska was the first popular music in Jamaica, and it grew out of a lot of various elements. American music had always been very important in Jamaica. It's very close, and Jamaicans could pick up American radio station. So even from World War II in the big band era, that was the type of music that Jamaicans were listening to, and they would be really experiencing music in the sound system, which is the term for, we would call a dance, say, where a sound system operator would have the PA bring the sound system to a spot, sometimes an outdoor field or an indoor venue, and sell tickets. And the draw, because there were many sound system operators, for people to go to one or the other, is this guy has the better music.
Oh, yeah.
And so they would strike deals with American soldiers coming into Jamaica as military ports. Next time you come, bring some records, I'll buy them. And there was always a scramble. Sometimes the more successful sound system operators would take trips to the U.S. to buy music and bring it back. And by the end of the 50s, there had started to be some recording of Jamaican music. And so American music, boogie-woogie, rhythm and blues, was definitely a big influence on ska music, as was an indigenous style called mento, which is similar in some fashion to calypso, but a little more acoustic, where calypso is also a big band and steel pans. This was more acoustic guitar, banjo, hand drums, and African music, of course, was a big influence. And so all of these things came together at the end of the 50s to become what was known as ska music. And ska music had its real moment in the sun in 1962, 1963. Jamaica was becoming independent from Britain, from the Commonwealth. And so this was a jubilant period, and people really felt, oh, we have, we're our own country now, and we have our own music, and it was a big moment in Jamaica. By 1966, the myth of how things happened is that the summer was extremely hot, and people wanted slower music. So the sound system operators by this time had become record producers also, and they would rent studio time or have their own studios and bring musicians in and make their own recordings. So now in the dances at the sound systems, they were playing Jamaican music and not so much anymore American music. So as they slowed down the tempo, the new music became known as rocksteady, and it really replaced ska. Jamaica's not a big place. Maybe in Kingston, where the taste of music was being made and most of the recordings were happening, between a million and a million and a half people living. So a small city by some standards. And so things would happen very fast. If there was a moment of tastes changed, everybody jumped on that and followed. Oh, there's a new development in some way or other. And so things would happen quite quickly and overnight. And so really, rocksteady became the new fashion, the new rage, and ska really stopped being played. It was, it had passed on into rocksteady. And after 2-3 years, by the end of the 60s, rocksteady had evolved into reggae, which I think looking back now, many people feel like, oh, the music got slower and slower, and reggae is slower than rocksteady. But I think the truth of it is, reggae at the time brought the tempo back up. Rocksteady was much lower tempo. And then reggae was actually a more lively sound once again. And then as reggae itself evolved, it became, in many cases, slower and slower.
And dove music, where does it fit there? Between the reggae and after the reggae? Or between rocksteady and reggae?
I think like dove music didn't really... it wasn't happening during the rocksteady era. I think during the reggae era is really when dub music stepped forward as a new aspect to reggae music. And part of that is in the early days of ska, the recording equipment they had was very primitive.
Yeah.
Maybe one track to record, and the big step up would be we have two tracks, whereas now people with a laptop can be recording 100 tracks.
Yeah.
And So they might have various microphones around the room, but these performances were all happening live and there was no overdubbing. And by the 70s, people had stepped up to maybe 4 tracks, even 8 tracks, which meant things could be done in a different fashion. It didn't have to be all live. And when it's 1 or 2 tracks, essentially you're doing the mix as you record. There's no way to, oh, there's too much trumpet. Well, it's just that loud. So later they were able to have more separation and the drums would be in a separate room and maybe the guitar and the keyboard were over here and there was a track for the singers, maybe a track even for the lead singer and another one for the harmony singers, which allowed them at mixes to manipulate the various performances. If they wanted to take the guitar and organ out, they push a button, now it's only drums and bass. And at the same time, they were bringing in the most popular effect was a reverb and echo, which are versions of the same thing, where a signal is regenerated. And so in classic dub music, you hear a lot of wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah-wah, big delays.
Yeah, yeah, trippy, no?
Yeah, so they were able to isolate maybe one guitar stroke and just run that through this effect. And by taking out other aspects of the music that had been part of it, they created space for this trippy dub sound. And it's amazing to me how it's really indicative of how Jamaicans did what they could with what they had. And as soon as there was a small leap in technology, there was so much creativity and inventiveness, and sounds would change radically. And of course, the influence that reggae and dub music have had on all kinds of music internationally is really incredible.
Yeah,
there's very few styles that don't owe some debt to Jamaican music.
Yeah, have you been to Jamaica?
I have not. I've traveled a lot of places and pretty much always to play music. And it's ironic, but as I mentioned before, for instance, as ska music evolved into rocksteady, for the most part, Jamaicans were done with ska music. And even though I play ska music and rocksteady and reggae, I play an early era style of reggae, my own music. And Jamaican music has really moved, I would say, away from reggae, like past reggae, where dancehall music is really more like hip-hop in a lot of fashions.
Mm-hmm.
There is still roots reggae where there are songs and traditional band formats, but really what's the most popular thing these days is more electronic music with MCs chatting on top of that, which is so far away from what I do that the irony is in Jamaica there seems to be the least interest in this vintage Jamaican music, because around the world, for instance, in Japan, where people will get into something and that becomes their thing and they're all about it and they go 110%
on
it.
Japanese are extreme.
Yeah. And in Mexico, there's a large scene for people that are into authentic old Jamaican music, where I think if I went to Jamaica, the best shows I could have is if I did a tour of retirement homes, where the senior Jamaicans would say, oh, I know this music from when I was young. Because the young people are really listening to a whole different type of thing. It's like asking someone who's into Metallica now to listen to an old Elvis track. You know, it's like, it's great music, but it's not their thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's their parents' music or their grandparents' music.
Cool. Okay. Well, let's put an ad here. We'll be right back. We're chatting with Chris Morey. He's going to be performing tonight at this place, Hashery, and he's playing a couple of tunes here.
Sob skank, Scotty spanks butts. He skanks when he struts. No one told him never to be rude.
Boy,
he dresses like a gangster.
He wrestled with an hamster.
He's here to get you all in the nude.
Boys
and girls.
It's not just this same old show on your radio. Scotty Scenic Drive, Monday, 11 a.m. to noon. 101.9 FM, CITR Vancouver.
$1 billion on the ground, all stretched out and uncurled. would extend about four times around the circumference of the world.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the Commercial Drive area at
Bone Rattle Music Limited, High Life Records, and People's Co-op Bookstore.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To find out more, visit us in room 233 of the sub on the UBC campus or online at citr.ca.
So you're listening to 101.9 FM here, CITR. The morning after show, we're here with Chris Murray. He's going to be performing tonight at Displaced Hatchery. And we have here the Sarah Fawcett from Red on Black Music, because they're promoting the record store day and they're filming here. So really cool. They're filming your set here and the radio show and everything. So yeah. So the record store day is happening April 20th, and you guys are going to be in Neptune Records, no? What are you guys going to be doing there?
This Saturday we're filming anybody coming in off the street, musicians, etc., trying to get their thoughts on vinyl and record store day and trying to get people out to their local record shops and support local business in Vancouver and the music scene. So it'll be at 12 o'clock this Saturday at Neptune Records on Main Street.
Okay, this Saturday at noon,
yeah.
Neptune Records.
Yeah, Neptune Records. They're letting us film there. It's a great record store. You should check out.
Yeah, yeah, I've been there many times. So you guys are doing like a little documentary, or what's the idea?
A series of videos. One will be just to promote Record Store Day, because a lot of people don't even know what that is. And the second one will just be about people's favorite memories and on vinyl and why they think it's still important to our music scene here in Vancouver.
Cool.
Yeah.
You're gonna
everyone should come on down.
Okay. You're going to ask us that later today? Or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to ask Oswaldo and Chris both these questions, so they'll be featured in the video clips as well.
Cool. So we can start thinking about the answers. So Red on Black Music, what's that?
It's a local music blog. And basically, I had lots of friends that were in the music scene, and they weren't getting the attention that I thought they deserved. There's a lot of great music in Vancouver, a lot of great local bands, and I'm trying to promote them and give them a hand, get their names out there as much as possible. And it's also about creating a larger music community within all the organizations in Vancouver that help out the music community, trying to get us together and put on events and such. So,
cool. Yeah, yeah. Like Van Music, no?
Yeah, Van exactly. Yeah, Van Music is a big brother. Yeah, they're a model for us, for sure. Do a lot of great things in Vancouver, so trying to get in with them as well.
Cool. So April 20th, Record Store Day.
Yeah.
In a bunch of places. There's bands playing, no?
There'll be a whole bunch of bands playing at different venues that night as well as during the day. I know Neptune Records is putting on a show, and I think a couple other record stores are also going to do a whole bunch of things. There'll be sales at the record stores, and all of the new vinyl internationally will be released on April 20th. It's a big day for everyone internationally to release all their vinyl, so you can get a lot of really interesting, unique pieces on April 20th. So, yeah, for anybody that collects vinyl out there, it's a good thing.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you still pressing in vinyl, Chris?
I'm not. You know, right when I started to release with King Apparatus, CDs were coming in, and so our initial releases we released on CD and also cassette. It was right when cassette was still happening. And I was working at a music magazine at the time, RPM Weekly. So I was really aware that there was a conscious effort from the music industry to phase out vinyl. And for me these days, although there are people that ask for it, a lot of times I'm traveling and I can only carry what I can carry.
Yeah, yeah.
It's easy to damage vinyl, it's heavy. And then not so many people have
the turntables
anymore. Mm-hmm. So I haven't been pressing vinyl, but there are a few moments here and there in Japan. There were a couple of singles, things like that. I love vinyl. It sounds great.
Yeah, yeah, I love vinyl too. So yeah, you're listening to 101.9 FM. We have Chris Morey here. So let's do another song, no? You want to play another live tune? Oh, let's do the shout-outs. Shout out. Okay, you guys start. Who you want to say hello to? No? Nobody's listening to your show? Nobody or your friend? Okay, I'll start then. I want to say hello to our friends from MG Graveyard that are listening there, Jess and Jeff. They were here a couple of shows ago, or last show, I don't know. They were here playing. Chapa's listening there. Noga's listening there in Germany. You should say hello to her.
Hi, Nora.
Yeah, all the way in Germany. Let's see who else is listening. Oh, Richard from Orchard Pinkish. They're playing tonight also. Scotty T. He has a show also here on CITR on Mondays, a ska show. So, yeah, a lot of people listening there to the show today. So, yeah, pretty cool. So let's do the song, no?
Sure. So I've just been recording a new album with my group in LA, Chris Murray Combo, and I'm going to play a song from this recording that probably people haven't heard before.
Okay.
In the spirit of my day, to play songs maybe people haven't heard before. This one is called Toothbrush.
Come let us sweep the dusty floor of a love. After years and many miles, why must we take
Chicago.
Awesome.
Yay.
Yeah, it's an awesome song.
Thanks.
So you play also with a Chris Murray combo, no? Or
yes.
With other musicians there when you're in L.A.?
Yes, in L.A. there's been a group I've been playing with for maybe 9, coming up on 10 years, called Chris Murray Combo. For 7 years, I had an artist residency at Knitting Factory in Hollywood. So once a week, I would present a show, and my group would play, and we had acts from, I think, every continent.
Oh, really?
Come so through L.A.
So you were hosting bands there? And
yeah, it was every Tuesday.
That's awesome.
A ska night. And so the word got out in the ska scene, hey, if you're coming to L.A., this is a cool thing to play. So I had from the smallest bands you never heard of to Tokyo Ska Paradise Orchestra played one of those. And that was really a great experience. So Chris Murray Combo was really a big part of Blue Beat Lounge. And when I travel now, sometimes I will perform solo. Sometimes I'll be performing with local musicians. And sometimes, for instance, I go to Brazil every year or two, and there are multiple sets of musicians that I played with there, depending on the region within this large country. And when I come to Canada, many times, I would say the last few times I've done a real West Coast to Montreal style tour. I've been packaged with a band from Montreal, each time a different band. The last was the Fundamentals.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, I did dates with the Beatdown. Before that, with One Night Band. And several years before that, I did a tour with the Kingpins. So on these occasions, usually we'll set up the night where the band plays some of its music, I'll play some of my music solo, and then we'll play music together. So when I travel, I love to play with all kinds of people. It's great to come home and play with the people that it's just like hand in glove with.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
As an artist and as a musician, the more people I play with, I'm always learning, as I'm also always teaching, I feel. There's a real give and take with music and musicians.
Cool. You were just in Mexico too, no?
Yes. I've actually been in Mexico twice this year. I was down... I played a show in Mexico City in February, and then 2-3 weeks ago I was in Tijuana playing a show, and I'll be back in Tijuana later this month.
Cool. Yeah, I guess Tijuana is close by, no? For
yeah, it is. It's really close. And then in April I'll be going down and playing in Guadalajara, Colima, and León.
In April?
Yes.
Okay.
So a lot of Mexico trips for me this year.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, because you have a lot of fans in Mexico too, no?
Yeah, there's a really strong awareness of ska.
Yeah, I think now ska is the most popular genre of rock in Mexico. Yeah, lots of bands and
they really
are really popular, and yeah, that's why Los Furios is so popular there, because the ska.
And I told you this story about when I was in Mexico in February. I did some recording with a band called La Tremenda Corte, who are one of the more senior bands. They're celebrating their 18th anniversary this year. And so they had a new song for them, and I went with them to their studio in Taxco, which is an hour and a half or 2 hours south of Mexico City. And I hung out in Taxco a few days with them, got shown the city.
It's a beautiful city, eh?
Yeah, it really is. And they were just working on this song, and it was a really important song for them, because at the time their previous show had been in December, and since this show, two band members had died. One was in a car accident and one was shot near Monterrey, which is a dangerous zone right now. So the song was dealing directly with this reality, how the band had just lost two brothers and the feeling that they were having at that time. So before I went down, I knew I would be playing guitar on a track for a band, but I didn't really even know which band it was going to be, and I wasn't that familiar with La Tremenda Corte myself. So I got there and we were hanging out, and I heard how they had started to make a recording of the song, and it was sounding very cool. And then I heard the story of the song, and I thought, wow, they felt like, oh, it's an honor to have me on their song. And I felt equally like it's an honor to be part of a song that is so powerful for this group of people. So I played guitar, and that typically goes pretty quickly for me. And then they said, how would you feel about singing on the song? I said, sure, I'd love to. And they said, in Spanish? And so I don't speak Spanish. But we spent 3 or 4 hours coaching me through the specific lyrics of this song to where my pronunciation and timing was suitably good. And at the end, everybody was really thrilled with how it turned out. And I thought it sounded great, too. And then a few days later, there was a little meeting, and they asked me, would I be interested in making an album of my music in Spanish? So there's discussion about this. Of course, I would love to do it. We have to figure out some plans.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a new project for me in development. And I go to Latin America fairly often. I've been to Brazil, although that's Portuguese-speaking, but I've been to Colombia and Argentina, currently discussing a trip to Venezuela. And I really like to be in Latin America, and I think that I really wish I spoke Spanish when I'm there, of course, just to really communicate with people. So I'm excited by the opportunity to present some songs of mine in Spanish, because that's a real step forward for me to say, I'm doing this for you, for us, you know, in this moment.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool. Yeah. Do you know the name of the song? Is it recorded already?
I don't think that... I think that maybe the recording is completed and they haven't mixed it. I'm
okay.
Not sure.
So
and I think even at the time, they were unclear what the title would be.
Cool. Well, we have to keep our eyes open for that.
Yes.
Yeah. Cool. You want to do another song?
I would love to.
Yeah, cool. What are we going to listen?
Well, I've been singing some of the more obscure songs. So maybe I'll sing something that's a little more well known. This is my ode to the newly single in the world, and all about getting dumped and keeping your grace at this moment, because I've learned from experience that there is an urge when you get dumped to try to work it out. Oh, we can make it work. And it never happens. And so X Darling is the song of about letting go. And that's, you know, really key in life with all kinds of things. Matters of the heart really strike hard for everyone, I think. So here we go. This one's called X Darling. Thank you.
Cool. Yeah, that's right, a really cool song, yeah, for sure. So you said tonight you're going to play more of your less popular songs,
yeah,
I guess.
You know, I try to sing every day just because it's what I love to do. And so when I'm at home, for instance, or in a venue warming up in the washroom.
In the washroom, yeah.
Usually cool. I'm not singing, well, I hate to use the word hits, it sounds like immodest, but, you know, my most famous songs, whatever, because I play those all the time. The songs that I really play for myself, just for my own self, are usually ones that don't make it on stage. They have meaning to me, and I think...
And why do they not make it to the stage?
Well, as I was saying before, when I come to a city once a year or once every 2 years, and there are songs that people really want to hear, and there's a limited amount of time.
Okay.
Maybe I've written 80 or 100 songs, and I have time to play a dozen or 15 songs. And in that time to play 15 songs, maybe there are 10 songs, like Ex-Darling and Rocksteady, Home, where if I don't play those songs, I didn't really deliver what I think a lot of people have come to hear, these songs that they love. So... it was a fortunate circumstance to be back in Vancouver. I think this is the first time I've consciously made a show like this where I want to play songs that are not the ones that I play all the time. And part of it is for me, and part of it is I try to keep my head in this mentality of what I'm doing is sharing music.
No, and you know what? It's really, really cool because it's an open mic that we have on Tuesday. So a lot of established artists come to the open mic to try new songs, to experiment, yeah, to get a feel of what the people think. So it's really cool that you're going to do that because it's kind of like in the spirit of the open mic to try things that you're not paid to, like in a normal paid gig that you have to.
I feel like this is not intended for me to be a concert. It's just as you say, it's going there to share music. And I know that there are people who have seen me in Vancouver 10 times and have heard me sing Rocksteady every time.
Yeah.
And they love that song and they keep coming to hear it. But I wanted to offer this opportunity to hear the other songs.
Yeah, that's so cool.
It's rare to have the time.
Awesome. So let's listen to one of those songs, no? One of those songs that you never play. That
okay.
You want to do one
you want
of
me
those?
To play another song? Okay,
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, yeah. Like a song that you don't generally play. One of your most obscure songs.
Okay, well, I think... guitar is waking up also. It's feeling cranky with tuning. So here's a song, another one from the new Chris Murray Combo recordings. And we've played it on stage a handful of times, but that's maybe the only opportunity anyone's had to hear it. It's called Forget Your Love. Thank you.
Yeah, it was really cool. So yeah, you're listening to 101.9 FM. This is a morning after show. My name's Tilo Osvaldo Perez, and yeah, we're here with Chris Moray. He's playing a special show, intimate show tonight at this place Hashery. So come and check it out. It's gonna be really cool. So well, we were talking about La Tremenda Corte, so let's put a song from them, no?
Great.
Yeah, so friends from Mexico City, or yeah, I think they're from Mexico City.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, we'll be right back. Thank you.
This one's called A Little Bit of Love.
So we're back here, 101.9 FM. That's the... That's a song that was shot at the washroom of the rickshaw. Yeah. We'll put it at the end of the show.
Cool.
Complete. Yeah. So that was a really cool moment there. I came into the rickshaw there to the green room and you were playing in the washroom, so I just see that I sat down there and said like, "Oh, this is like a private concert. That's cool."
It's a habit that I've developed over years, because many times I'll be touring with a band, and when we arrive at the venue, they have a lot of setting up and sound checking to do. My sound check is, here's the guitar, okay, here's the voice, okay. Sometimes it's like that,
30 seconds. Yeah.
But with the bands, it's like kick drum, boom, 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 for 3 minutes. So I have some time, and I want to sing to warm up, and so often the ladies' room is the best situation, because during the day at most venues there are not so many females in the room, so there's not a lot of traffic, and they're usually much cleaner
and the acoustics are good, no?
They really are. And so when we were trying to figure out a place for Rod to film, the bathroom was right there. To me, it was a very natural choice.
And it's a cool setting, so check it out. I guess if you Google, or if you
on
search on YouTube, Chris Morag Rickshaw, it will pop up there in the show. So, yeah, it's gonna be cool. To date, this place Hatchery is the place to be. The address again is 3293 West 4th Avenue, there, corner of Blenheim in Kitsilano. So, a couple of artists are gonna be performing there as well. Kyle from Los Furios is going to be there, and the guys from Orchard Pinkish also are going to be there, and Maddie's a regular, like, he does a lot of cover songs. And probably Gosuke, he's a Japanese instrumental guitar player. Yeah, he's really cool.
Great.
Too, so yeah, it's going to be a really fun night. Surely there's going to be some food specials and
nice
PBR specials, so it's going to be cool. So we're almost reaching the end of the show. I want to thank the guys from Red and Black Music for filming. And where is this going to be? Where can we watch the footage? Or?
Well, it'll be up on www.redandblackmusic.com, probably around April 1st timing.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's when our campaign starts for Record Store Day. So it's like a 20-day countdown to Record Store Day, essentially.
Okay.
So we'll have new things up every day.
Awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Yeah, so we're looking forward for that. What's the address again for the website?
www.redonblackmusic.com.
Awesome, yeah. And with people, where can they find your CDs, or where can people buy your music?
So I have a label myself called Unstrictly Roots. So unstrictlyroots.com is the label site. And for me directly, Facebook is probably the easiest way to follow what I'm doing. Of all the social networking I do, I know I end up on Facebook more than the rest.
Yeah.
So I have Chris Murray, or facebook.com/ChrisMurrayMusic.
Mm-hmm.
And because they limit the... I have three pages, actually. I have an artist page, which is /ChrisMurrayRoots.
Mm-hmm.
And then I had before they had artist pages, I had a personal page, Chris Murray Music, and they limit you to 5,000 friends. So I've exceeded that. And now I have, if you want to be my friend, you need to go to facebook.com/ChrisMurrayMusic too.
And do you have any other, what's the name again of your record label?
Unstrictly
Roots. Okay. Do you have any other artists there, or is it just your project?
So far, there have been, I think, four releases. Three were for me, and one was for an artist named Riz Orchestra, who is more of blues. Very similar in some ways to how Vic Ruggiero performed.
Okay.
Where as he's playing guitar and singing, he'll also, with his feet, be playing some drum kit equipment.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And many singers in that style would play harmonica. Riz Orchestra plays kazoo. He's an older gentleman. He's really a fascinating hermit prodigy kind of guy. He knows music from the 1800s, and he plays all kinds of world music instruments, as well as this blues-oriented thing, which is how I got to know him.
Cool. Okay, so I guess we have time for one more song.
Okay. Let's see what we got.
What are we going to listen to?
Okay. I got an idea. So, when I first came to Vancouver, I was traveling with King Apparatus. And I'll play a King Apparatus song. This one's called Break Your Heart.
Awesome. Yeah, there's a couple of people crying there with the song.
I hope you know. That's good.
Cool. So, yeah, that's Chris Morey. And thanks, guys, also for coming and shooting and everything here. Yeah. We'll see you. Yeah.
Thanks for letting us come down, Oswaldo. I love your show.
Yeah, thank you.
CITR rocks.
Yeah, thank you.
And thanks, Chris, also for letting us film.
My pleasure.
I really enjoyed your set. It was great.
Good luck with the countdown to Record Store Day. And thanks for having me, Oswaldo.
No, thanks for coming. Yeah, it was a pleasure to have you here. Yeah, for sure. And what else? Well, tonight, yeah, I go to this place, Hasher. It's going to be really cool, cool there. And I don't know if you guys want to present yourselves to the rest of the crew.
Sure. I'm Brandon.
I'm Lauren.
Yeah, the photographer and videographer there. And Kerstin also was helping with the boom there for a while. So yeah. Okay, so yeah, that was the morning after show. Next, we have Alex with Mantis Cabinet. And yeah, we'll see you next week on 101.9 FM CITR. I don't know what we're going to have next week, but it's going to be something really cool, that's for sure. So let's say goodbye with this song by Chris Morey, shot at the rickshaw in the back bathroom, the backstage at the rickshaw. And yeah, that's it. We'll see you next week. Or see you tonight.
See you tonight. A little bit of love.
Day, we're on our way, step by step, just moving forward down the road that lies ahead. Where we're going, we don't know. It's time to go. Here's what we're bringing out. A little bit of heart, cause we're gonna make a start. And a little bit of soul, cause now we're on a roll. Yes, a little bit of love, uh-huh, goes a long, long way. Tell me why, when I look around me, what I see is everybody just living for themselves, chasing the almighty dollar, dollar bill. And I know they will kill a man and think they've made a profit, stealing from their brothers, they're just stealing from themselves, like they don't know. In this thing together, in this thing together now, in this world together, and a little bit of heart, we say we're gonna make a start, and a little bit of soul, we say now we're on a roll, yes, a little bit of love, uh-huh, goes a long, long way. Too much to ask for, is it too much to dream, too much of fantasy, everybody will take care of one another, only one way to see, and that's if we get together, if we get together now, if we get together, so can we get together with a little bit of heart, is it gonna make a start? And a little bit of soul. Is it now?